launch them out into their into their influence. So I'm going to have Sarah come.
When he said he was going to change it up, I thought I wasn't going next. It's kind of interesting that this is the educational mountain, and just before this mountain, all the kids were released. But you know what the Lord said? There's a remnant left. And it is the remnant that is going to take these mountains. So I gave the Lord complete freedom to change anything that I had put together, and then when he does, it's like, what? So, the education mountain. There are three things that came to mind. The Lord already scratched two of them off my list, so, but the first one is the most important. God has a strategy for this education mountain. The education mountain at one time in America was an educational system that embraced the Word of God, Jesus, and prayer. Now, kids don't even know about prayer, the Bible, or God. There is a concentrated agenda at the highest level in America to remove any remnant of Christian influence in schools, universities, and yes, Christian institutions. Did you know that? Did you know this? This agenda does not include your influence. Everything about the indoctrination of the educational system and this education mountain is contrary to the Word of God. But God has a strategy. And this is what he gave me this morning, because I was thinking, well, if you have a strategy, I'd kind of like to know it, you know. But here was my presentation. It's like, here's a strategy, but I don't know it. But I would like to say I do know it, because the Lord gave me a PowerPoint. Do you have your Bibles or your phone, the Word? See this? This is your power. See this? PowerPoint. Right there. PowerPoint, that is a strategy that is going to take not just the educational mountain, but every mountain. It may look like a huge mountain. All these mountains may look huge, but this educational mountain, I want to remind you, the movement that started the removal of the Bible and prayer in the schools was done by one movement or a small one woman, a movement with a small remnant, right? It didn't happen overnight. But it was little by little. And I was thinking, okay, this mountain is huge. Little by little, where are our kids and the next generation going to be? And then when Megan was sharing, it was like, you know, in one touch, that blind man saw. One touch from Jesus. One touch from the Word, and it changed everything. Everything. That blind man's influence was, you couldn't shut him up, I'm sure. Amen? But I was thinking about some other people in the Word that were just one. And Gideon came to mind. And you know, when the Lord called him, he didn't call him how he felt. He said, "Mighty warrior." Gideon's like, "Wait, what? Least? Weakest? The least influential." But the Lord says, "Yeah, that's what I'm calling you. Not just that, I'm going to weed down your army even more." Amen? He told Gideon, "Go in the strength that you have." And I want to say, if this mountain is for you, and let me say that this is an educational mountain, but let me say that in every single mountain, you have to learn. There's teaching involved. There's instruction. There's it's not just the educational mountain. But the Lord said, take what I have given you. Take what you have. And this is what you have. Your own PowerPoint. And he says, I will be with you. How many know that when the Lord calls you, you have no idea the strength you have, or that it's even in your heart to do that? And I just want to just say this real quickly, that years ago, for one thing, I never wanted to be an educator, and I was so happy when I retired, and I was like, oh man, this is not my mountain. But you know what? Like I said, there is teaching and instruction in every single mountain. And I want to just acknowledge those who are on the front line in the educational system. There are people, teachers, administrators, parents that are on the front line battling this fierce mountain. And I just want to commend you and thank you. You might think that you are not making a difference, but you are. You might have one president in your class. You might have one school board member in your class. You might have one lawyer. You might have a Billy Graham. So far, no, I don't even know if I have the front or the back. There was another one person in the Bible that made an impact, influence throughout history, and you only hear of her one time. She wasn't rich, she wasn't wealthy, she wasn't famous, but she gave all that she had, and it was the woman with two mites. And you know, Jesus took note of that. And if you are willing in this mountain of education to just put in what you have, Jesus is going to take note with that, and you will be known throughout history in this mountain. Maybe not on earth, but in heaven. You will be known taking this mountain down for the kingdom. Amen? When Jesus said, suffer not the little children unto me, don't hinder them from coming to me. When prayer and the Bible and Christianity is taken out of every part of our next generation, that's an issue. Because Jesus says, don't hinder the little children, and that's a hindrance. There are people that are, like I said, have been on the forefront of this mountain, climbing up in the educational system, but there are also people that are at the base camp. And those people in the forefront cannot do what they are called to do without the resources and support and ammunition from what the base camp has in store, the supplies. So if you feel that this mountain is a mountain that, and like I said, not just the educational system, but every part of society and our culture involves some sort of education and equipping and training for the next generation, one-on-one or a full classroom, but a remnant is going to take it. Are you a remnant? I just, like I said, the strategy, I don't know, but God knows. So if you, all you have to do is say yes, and he will show you the rest. And it might not be anything that anybody ever knows, because it's his strategy, and you know with these mountains, they're huge, and it's going to have to be his strategy. So if you want to be open and willing just to say, yes, Lord, what is my part in this remnant? What is my step up this mountain? I just want to encourage you to receive this impartation, And maybe off the record, you're like me, you're thinking, I do not want to be in this education mountain. But like I said, this mountain is not, every mountain involves education and teaching. Amen? It's for the next generation. So Lord, I just want to declare that we as a remnant will call forth Jesus, the Word, back into our society, back into our culture, back into our classrooms, back into the administration, back into the laws that are made governing over our land. Father, I pray that as we open your Word, Lord, you would guide and direct each step, Lord, as we're tethered together up the mountain, Lord, no matter if we're at the top or the bottom, Lord, and everything in between. You waste nothing, and you are looking for those mites. Not our might, not our strength, but your might. In Jesus' name.
So who feels their call to the education mountain? I want you to stand up. See these people standing? You're the ministry team. Go put your hands on them and pray for them.
So I want to encourage you, if you're an apostolic person, if you're in this house, you are an apostolic person, because this is an apostolic house. Every one of us has something to teach. These seven mountains are called the seven mountains of influence, and we are called to be the influencers in those mountains. And no matter where you go, you're teaching. You are teaching, as Sarah said. So if you're an apostolic person, receive from this and go have influence in this mountain.
guys finish up, I'm going to be introducing the government mountain. I'm going to read a couple verses. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Now, we live in a time where we really have to check our hearts. I'll just speak for myself that when I hear things on the news or when my friends tell me things with what's going on in the government mountain, it's so hard to not recoil on the inside and become cynical. But instead of complaining about it, the Lord has called us to do something about it. And that anger that you might feel, or that guffaw that you might allow slip from your lips, pay attention to that. Turn that into doing something righteous for the Lord, that the Lord might be getting your attention to do something about it on the government mountain. Now, just like everyone else spoke beforehand, these mountains all infiltrate each other, right? And so they don't just stand alone. I also want to bring up this verse. 1 Timothy 2. First of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. For such praying is good and right, and it is pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior. The Lord's saying that you might not be called to maybe be a congressman or a senator or whatever. But the Bible says that we need to be praying for all of our governmental leaders. So everyone should be standing up for this mountain. Because it says if we want to live a peaceable life, we need to pray for our leaders. So I'll just tell a really quick story about our founding fathers, which I didn't grow up in this country, so I didn't actually know much about them. And a few years ago, the Lord spoke to me. He says, "May, look for the prototype." And he led me to Abraham Lincoln's life and basically how he gave his life for freedom. Abraham Lincoln gave his life for this country. And if you look at history, the first Great Awakening happened right before the American Revolution. And then the second Great Awakening happened right before the Civil War. And the Lord in His mercy and goodness poured out. He gave His provision in the Spirit so that this country would not be torn apart. And then He led me to John Adams. And I'm like, who's John Adams? John Adams, who knew what it was to give his life for the greater good. In a time when there are governmental leaders who are trying to live their lives like celebrities right now, just take a moment to look at John Adams, who left his family behind in America to go be a representative in France, to go ask for funds to help, ask France to help with the American Revolution, who before the Declaration of Independence, he went up to Thomas Jefferson and said, "I am obnoxious and not much liked in Boston. You need to write the Declaration of Independence." So he convinced Thomas and Jefferson to do so because he understood what it was to live for the greater good instead of having the spotlight and the celebrity on him. What's really funny and ironic is that John Adams does not have a statue in D.C. He's not in any of our currency that circulates. He's actually called the Forgotten Patriot. Okay? So he was the second president. him and Thomas Jefferson had a falling out because Thomas Jefferson ran against him when he wanted to run again. So they had a big falling out. Finally, after years and years, a mutual friend convinced them to make up. They kind of reconciled. Fast forward, when they're on their deathbed, it's actually written somewhere that I believe it's John Adams, and he journals or says something. He says something like, "Here I die, and Thomas and Jefferson lives." Because back then they didn't have social media and cell phones. What's ironic is they both died on the same day. 50 years after July 4th, the first Independence Day, both of them. 50 is the number of Jubilee. And going back to what the Lord says, he said, look for the prototype. And this is in regard to every and any mountain. Do you want the recognition of men? Or do you one day want the recognition in heaven? You might be called the forgotten patriot. Maybe your calling is to labor and travail on this government mountain because it needs it. And you might not ever be seen, but your tears and your prayers will go before the throne. And it's going to make a difference because at the end of the day, what matters? What it looks like here on earth, which yes, we want to make an impact. Or whose approval do we want? Right? If you're called to the government mountain, whatever capacity that looks like, in any mountain, our lives are not our own to preserve. Right? We need righteous leaders, righteous laws, justice, the scales of justice and righteousness from heaven, the jurisdiction of heaven to rule and reign here on earth. And there's been much perversion, much compromise on this mountain because of unjust gains, greed, corruption, manipulation, witchcraft, rebellion, all those things. It's a nasty thing, and we cannot take it for granted what this country was founded on, right? And it's a far cry from what it was founded on. And so, this is a clarion call. I mean, I would venture to say there's some presidents in the past might not have thought in the young days that one day I'll be a president, but they were, as unconventional as they were, and I'm not going to name names. But my point is, you might not feel called right now, however, if there's that stirring of that, like, oh, I just want to cut someone, you know, when you hear about some laws or something, pay attention to that. He could be calling you to intercede for them. Maybe the school board, maybe the assembly, maybe it's knocking on doors. I know some pretty fierce mama bears that rose up after 2020. Oh my gosh, you should see the text threads that I'm on. Man alive, maybe that's you. That's still the government mountain. So if you feel called to this, I want you to stand. I want you to stand, and I want those around you to come around you, to lay hands on you, because they're going to need intercessors. And maybe it's not the government mountain in the conventional sense, but maybe it's you are called to fund those candidates. So look around, gather on those that are standing, and we're going to pray for you. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for these brave men and women who have stood to make a difference in a dark and perverse time and generation. Father, I just release the scales of righteousness and justice from heaven, that the jurisdiction of heaven would be released in their lives. We just release the helmet of salvation and the mind of Christ over them, and that they would have the lion's heart and courage to face these things, that they would be even having the strategies and the words, Lord, that you might have for them to write laws, write new things in place where there is unrighteousness, when there's unjust gains. Lord, we just stand in proxy and repent for wickedness and unrighteous gains. in this government mountain. And Lord, we just release your word over these people and your strength and your courage. Thank you, God. We bless them in Jesus' name.
pray for the Christians to be called up to set a standard. Hey, set a standard. Set a standard. Set a standard. Set a standard. Will be a bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly. That's what you activated. Here is the key. Find where the key is. Here is the key for you guys. It says, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth or bind on earth. That which is forbidden in heaven. Operating through NBC. is that God gave you to pray over. And we pray that freedom of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. So the next thing we want to do is we're going to have this person in front of you, this influencer, this, who I don't even care, it could be social media. We're going to pray for them to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. So Lord, we just pray for an opening of the ears of those who are influencing in our nation and in the world, ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, what the kingdom of heaven wants to release. And we pray that they would be that conduit to God, that they would release it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for righteousness and integrity. I pray that that would bloom in all of the lives of these people. Lord, these people that we have not liked and that we have carried a spirit of offense with, we pray that you would forgive us for being offended. Forgive us for carrying that spirit of offense. We repent that spirit of offense. We pray that you would bless them. Bless Barbara Walters, Lord. Bless her. Bless her. Bless her. And I pray that you would bless her with righteousness and integrity. And I can just see like flowers like blooming around these people as we bless them. So the last thing I want to pray for these people, and probably the most important thing, is that they would encounter Jesus. If we start praying for these people of influence in this mountain and in any of these mountains, we take these keys and we apply these keys and we pray for them to encounter Jesus, we're going to see change because we're legislating. So Lord God, we just thank you for the airwaves and for the people that are releasing a sound. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them to be set free and to encounter Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Representing the Mountain of Arts and Entertainment, correct? Yes, entertainment. And you know, it's a mountain that has an impact and influence and hands on every generation. We are living in a days when technology is so improved that we carry entertainment in our pockets. I hear the Lord says, entertainment is at hand of every person who has a, you know, cell phone. Do you have a cell phone? But he also says, before entertainment was at hand, the kingdom of God was at hand. Thank you. And I feel like there is two coins to that mountain. There is those who are gifted, called to release and express their gifting and their art and whatever the Lord placed inside of you. And there is the other coin, which is the one who are entertained. And I will start with the first coin, which is those who are gifted. If you are that person, I just want you to think about that. You can stand up at any point as I'm praying and talking about that mountain. The entertainments, you know, we need godly people, men and women that are gifted, that have this expression, you know, in art and music and filmmaking and social media. People who really, you know, put their hands there and their hearts there to influence this generation that holds the entertainment at hand. But gifting is not enough. It's really not enough. And I hear the Lord say that I am turning the mountain of art and entertainment into the mountain of encounter. He reminded me in a time of Exodus, when they were building the first tabernacle ever, the Lord gave the blueprint, right, to Moses. And it says in Exodus 31, the Lord says to Moses, look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, of the tribe of Judah, the government part, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He's a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He's skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and crates and carving wood. He's the master at every craft. And after that, he named a few more people. You know, he was a man who was amazing and gifted by God. But the part that is important, the Spirit of God was upon him. There's a Spirit of God that rested upon him. And his work wasn't just expression of gifting. His work was encounter with the Lord. The tabernacle was built and Moses was face to face with God of Israel. And I pray that over this mountain, over every person, every man and woman who are called to this mountain, who are gifted, to be captivated, to be captured by the one who is maker and creator of all things. I pray that the Spirit of God will rest on those men and women. And they will not only express their gifts, but they will release the presence. They will build a tabernacle with their crafts and gifting and writing and songwriting and movie making and social media posting. I pray they will not seek just attention for themselves and glory for themselves, but they will be so captivated by the one who is the one that they will never dare to touch that glory. But lay it all down, and glorify and point to Jesus. And there is the other side of the coin. And that's the, thank you, that's the entertained one. And that's for all of you. You can all stand up. Have a cell phone in your pocket, stand up right now. If you have a cell phone in your pocket, stand up right now. You may have a cell phone at hand, but I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Behold the Lamb of God. The Lord took me to a Song of Songs, which I was thinking. I'm going to read some scripture and I want to pray. And Song of Songs 5. Make this promise, women of Israel. If you find my lover, tell him I am weak with love. Why? Why? Why is your lover better than all others? Why? There is so much at hand. Just take this and scroll and look. Netflix, we can be, our hearts can be entertained and captured by anything and everything you can think of. You just put this device in your hand. And it's a temptation. The Gen Z generation is a generation that was born into this. They don't know anything else. They don't know any different. So why is your lover better? Why is that Christ you are talking about better? Why is he so better, a woman of rare beauty? Ecclesia, the bride of Christ, the church. Why? What makes your lover so special that we must promise this, that we will pursue him for ourselves? Why? I want you to listen to this. My lover is a dark and dazzling, better than 10,000 others. His head is fine gold. His wavy hair is black as raven. His eyes sparkle like dust. Beside springs of water, they are set like jewels washed in milk. His cheeks are like gardens of spices, giving off fragrance. His lips are like lilies, perfumed with myrrh. His arms are like rounded bars of gold, set with beryl. His body is like bright ivory, glowing with lapis lazuli. His legs are like marble pillars, set in sockets of finest gold. His posture is stately, like the noble cedars of Lebanon. His mouth is sweetness itself. He is desirable in every way. Such a woman of Jerusalem is my lover, my friend. Beloved, these are words of someone who beholds her lover. These are words and description of someone who beholds her lover. Father, I just pray that those who are entertained, which is anyone and everyone, especially in the body of Christ, that we will behold the Lamb of God, that our hearts will be captured. We will be ruined for him. And if someone asks us why is he better than any other, there will be a river flowing out of us telling how beautiful, how holy, how majestic is our lover, our God, our Savior, our Redeemer. Awaken the first love, God. So when the world looks at us, they will ask, why? Why? Why is he better? Why are you not captivated and captured by the media and social media and everything else that is available and at hand? I pray, Father, that every person with a cell phone in their pocket that knows your name will tell them, because they behold you. Because they behold you day after day after day. And Father, those who are called to express, to release the song, the movies, the poems, the books, whatever it is, Lord. I pray, Father, it's not going to be just expression of a gift, a talent, a skill that you have given them. But they will actually, like Joshua, after Moses had a face-to-face with him, he lingered. He lingered at the tent. He stayed behind. He obeyed. So that could bring the generation into the promised land. He could lead the generation into the promised land. I pray, Father, that they will take time to behold you. Those who are called to release their talents, their giftings, I pray they will spend more time in beholding you than in practicing, Father. I pray, Father, that your spirit will rest upon them, just like it rests on Belshazzar, son of I just pray, Father, that your spirit will rest like never before, that this world will listen. They will listen to the expressions of people who are your lovers, God, who belong to you, who carry your name, God, and they will be like, wow, I'm not only in awe of just of your skill, I'm in awe of the person of Christ, because there is someone who needs to be released. So Jesus, I just thank you. I 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 thank you that you are not like any other God. And arts and entertainment, God, this mountain is not a threat to you. The one glance of your eyes with your beauty, your holiness, God. If we can just glimpse you, Lord, just a tiny bit, God. We are ruined for you. We are ruined. We are ruined for you forever and ever. And there is no competition. So let our hearts yield, position ourselves, take time, pray the price.
Business mountain. And I wanted to say that as I was preparing what I have to share today, the Lord is telling me that your blessing is connected to the prophetic. And it is the enemy's work to have you doubt about the prophetic ministry, so that you do not walk in the prosperity and the blessing that the Lord has for you. I wanted to say that the mountain of business mountain, the mountain of economy, is not the mountain of economy, but it's the mountain of opportunity. And God wants you to walk in that opportunity. He wants you to walk in that freedom. He wants you to walk in that boldness. He wants you to walk in the opportunity that He's created for you. For us, that means being in business, having a business, being a business owner, or raising up a new business. That's what it means. But I wanted to say that God is the God of the universe. He is the God that has all the riches in the world. And that tells me that there is a counterproductive God, demon, that is called the God of Mammon. And he's at the top of this mountain. That God of Mammon is the God of riches. It's a deity of riches, of wealth. But the Bible says that God says, mine is the silver and mine is the gold. He is the king of the universe, and he is the ultimate owner of everything that you and I have. There is absolutely nothing that will fight and tug more at your heart than this one thing, the economy. The economy, the mountain of business, is the mountain that will financially fund all of the other mountains. If we don't have our priorities in business, if I don't have our financial priorities, then it will go to the other mountains, but in the opposite direction. Not in the direction that the Lord wants to set you to go to. There are more Bible verses about money in the Bible, because the Lord knows that there is the one thing that can fight for your heart more than anything, that is money. And He doesn't want you to worry about that. He wants you to put your eyes in the kingdom of God. And I don't have, none of this is prepared in my notes, but I'm feeling this in my heart. I want you to put your hand upon your head and say, I have dominion. I have dominion. You know, the Lord wants to bless you. He wants to give you dominion. He wants to give you prosperity. And He wants to give you economic opportunity. This is the time of the church of God. This is your time. I see that there's a lot of people. We just talked about media. We just talked about entertainment. There's a lot of people that are going to be raised up in the kingdom of God to be influencers. They need money. I wanted to say one more thing, and then we're going to pray. There is a transfer of wealth that is happening, that is going to happen. And what does that mean is that, you know, sometimes we have thought about this in the sense of, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. But it's not that. What that means is, the Lord is going to, as you are in the Lord, and as you continue to bless Him and honor Him with your finances, the Lord is going to continue to fund whatever it is that you're doing. If it is missions, the Lord is going to fund your missions. You don't have to worry about that, because God is the King of the universe and He's bringing all these riches to you. If you're, you know, just being in media and you're going to lift up His name, God is going to honor your business, because He's the King of the universe and He's going to bless your name. He's going to bless you financially for the glory of His name. So I want us to pray for the people in this place, because I know that there are some people in this place that they have their own businesses. They're business owners, and we need to pray for them. But also we need to pray for those who are in leadership, right? And also, ultimately, we're going to be praying for you, for those of us who are not business owners or CEOs or CFOs or anything like that, but you go to work, right? God is calling us to be faithful in our tithes and our offerings. And in that, He's going to continue to bless you. Amen? So let's end up. I wanted to say, think about this morning, what is the kind of mentality that you have? Do you have a scarcity mentality? Or do you have a blessing mentality? Because, again, there is nothing that is going to fight for your heart more than this area in your life. And sometimes we think, you know, the governments have thought that bringing money and injecting money into people who have a scarcity mentality is going to solve the issue, and it's never going to happen. Right? But the Bible says that the blessing of the Lord bring no sorrow with it. Amen. So we're going to pray for our business leaders, and we're going to pray for those who are in the top, right? The business leaders. And then we're going to pray for you. Amen. For those of you who do not have that. Dear God, we come before you today to lift up the business mountain to you, Lord. We recognize that this area of society has a significant impact on shaping culture, on shaping businesses, Lord. We're praying for this mountain, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. We ask that you guide those who are involved in business to make decisions that are fair, that are ethical, that are just, that are godly, Lord. May they be inspired to create products, to create services that glorify your name, that bless your name, Lord. May they contribute to the benefit of society and to the well-being of all, Lord. We pray for those who are struggling in the world of business, that you would provide them with wisdom, with insight, with courage to overcome the challenges that they face, Lord. Help them to find solutions to problems and to work with integrity, with compassion, with understanding to everyone who they encounter, Lord. We pray for business leaders who are striving to make a positive impact in the world. May you bless their efforts. May you bless their businesses, the tribe, and bring glory to you, O God. We thank you that according to Proverbs 10:22, we speak the blessing that brings a wealth with no sorrow upon your people. Father, we think of that according to Joshua 1:8. They meditate on the word of God. They observe to do what is written in it. And because of it, they are walking in prosperity and great success in business. We decree, Lord, that they have an excellent spirit and they prefer choice in their industry and their position at the top of that business mountain. We thank you for blessing them. Father, bring them to be fruitful, to multiply their business, Lord, to replenish, to subdue, and to dominate in every sphere of their life. Thank you, Lord, because we're bringing glory to you, Lord, and help us through this business mountain to fund the next generation of servants, the next generation of missionaries, the next generation, Lord, of people who are glorifying your name, exalting your name, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. May their businesses be fruitful and multiply according to your riches in glory, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
God's moving, and he's moving in you. So we're going to sing one more song, and we're going to close. A little bit long service, but it's okay. It's been powerful. So let's go ahead and enter back into worship. prayer, but before we close, we're going to be moving the chairs back into the sanctuary. So anybody that's able to help, we appreciate your help. We're going to be going through this door, and we're actually not going to be putting them up. We're just going to be stacking them in the sanctuary on the right-hand side. I'll be in there just to direct. So if any of you guys didn't know about the Seven Mountains, I encourage you to look up Seven Mountain Mandates, just the idea, and do a little research on that. It's helpful, but I'm ready. You got some hard copy notes if anyone wants any. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time we've had together today. In your word, it says that you own the cattle on a thousand hills. You own those hills, those mountains that we've talked about today. I thank you that you go before us and behind us up these mountains, and I ask that as we are faithful to seek your face, that you will continue to be faithful to prepare us with our hiking boots and our hiking stick and our victuals to get us to where we need to go on whichever mountain, however far we climb. We thank you that you are